Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our final message in our expository study of the Gospel of Mark from the Authorized King James Bible. Thousands of listeners from all 50 U.S. states and more than 100 foreign countries have joined us in our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And no matter where it was that you first joined with us, you can go to our website at bbfohio.com and start the journey from the beginning. Please contact us and let us know if this study has been a blessing to you as we join the conclusion of the end of the Gospel of Mark.
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We don't preach that because we don't like anybody. We preach them because we love them. We want them to know the truth that if you want a mansion in heaven, you want to be in heaven, you want Jesus to receive you unto himself, there's only one way to get there, and that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus promised what we're reading about in Mark 16 and what we read about in Acts 1. His promise stands. He is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in the last part of verse 19, there's something very interesting. He summarizes the verse. The final thing he summarizes in verse 19 includes what I found to be an incredible, interesting little nugget. You didn't have to go to Greek to get it. It's right here in the English.
Yes.
Look how the verse ends. It says he sat on the right hand of God. Now remember, this is a summary. This is a summary. And so you go to the book of Acts. Now are you there? Let's look at Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, we're introduced to a fellow named Stephen. And in Acts 6, beginning of verse 7, I want to read this so we have a background. And we'll see that between the ascension and Jesus sitting, we're going to see this at the time of the martyrdom of Stephen. Verse 7, it begins by saying, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. You see that? The priesthood coming to Christ. And verse 8, by the way, that's who the book of Hebrews was written to. Mm-hmm. It was a bunch of priests who couldn't give up their sacrifices.
Right.
Verse 8, and Stephen, full of faith and prayer and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So what do they do? Convert? No. What they'll do is attack you. You either attack you physically or attack your character. Or one way or another, they will attack you. So in verse 11 it says, then they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God, which was a lie. In verse 12, read that. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him, and caught him, and brought him to the council. So now, when you go into chapter 7, you understand that it's Stephen, and he's given what I call a lengthy sermon, rebuking the leaders of the nation of Israel. And look in chapter 7 at the end, after he's preached this very scathing message. I mean, he just really rakes the coals over their heads. And in verses 54 and 55, look what we find here regarding Jesus and his being at the right hand of God. Read verses 54 and 55 with me. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God.
Hallelujah.
So Mark is giving you the summary, but before he sits down, you got Jesus standing.
Yeah.
He's standing because the offer of the kingdom is still there.
Yeah.
Now don't misunderstand me. God's not caught off guard that it's rejected.
No.
But the offer is there. And there's Jesus standing, and Stephen is there presenting the kingdom to the Jews. And they rejected it, and they killed him. They not only stoned him, but they gnashed on him with their teeth, ripping his skin with their mouths. Somebody's got a devil. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
I mean, shoo. Jesus is there standing at the right hand of God. Now, Jesus Himself confirms this. Look at Acts chapter 9. Go over one more, one or two pages, most of your Bibles. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 4. And this is Saul who became the Apostle Paul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, talking about the way, Jesus Christ, following the Lord, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, when they killed Stephen, they were attacking Jesus. When they rejected Stephen, they were rejecting Jesus again. They were rejecting a man who is full of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, preaching once again that He was the Messiah, and preaching once again that they needed to repent and receive their Messiah, and they again rejected Jesus and killed Him, and they showed what they'd like to have done to Jesus. They'd like to have actually cannibalized Him. And when they attacked Stephen, they tried to rip his flesh with their teeth. There's a whole lot more to this cannibalism. Cannibalism is of the devil, but you're going to find there's a whole lot more cannibalism going on that you've never even heard about. I'm telling you, you study history. That's why people wonder why I love history. I love biographies. And you study history, you find out. I mean, it backs up the book. You find out about human nature.
Yeah.
And you got the depravity and sin of men.
Amen.
They're going to eat people during the tribulation period. It's prophesied. When the Jews who rejected Jesus were then basically handed over to the wrath of God, they ate their own children, folks. 70 AD, 135 AD, they ate their own children. You say, whoa, this is a happy message. Well, it gets better. Turn over to Acts 26. Paul later explains that Jesus saw this as a rejection of Him. He said, you persecute me, when he talked to Paul. And then in Acts 26, getting right toward the end of the book of Acts, we're going to see Jesus confirm this. We're going to start in verse 14. Acts chapter 26, we'll read beginning of verse 14. It says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, because he had a couple guys with him there when he fell at the road on the road to Damascus, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. Jesus spoke Hebrew, not Greek.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, that's another scholarly error. When they tell you that Jesus quoted the Septuagint, it's a lie. He didn't. He was a Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew. And when he saw Saul, he spoke Hebrew. And he said in Hebrew, and we've got it in English here, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. There it is again. You're not persecuting Stephen. You're persecuting me. Folks, Jesus said when they hate you, it's not you they hate. They hate Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You got to remember that. That keeps you from hating people when they hate you. And it says then in verse 15, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. He said it again. You're persecuting me, Paul. Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister. Look at this closely. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. What's that last phrase? Unto whom now I send thee. Get that. Let it sink in. They were killing Jesus when they went after Stephen. They were rejecting His offer of the kingdom one last time. And when they rejected that kingdom, now we're in the transition in the book of Acts, And the rest of the book of Acts tells how he went from city to city into the synagogue first. The Seventh-day Adventists falsely teach that they had church on Saturday in Acts. They didn't. They went into the synagogue on Saturday because that's when the synagogue met. And they preached Jesus and most of the time got kicked out and stoned and run out of town. And one by one, they went to all the synagogues and one by one, the Jews rejected their Messiah. And when you come down to the end of the book of Acts, it's done. And now Paul becomes the apostle to the Gentiles. Any Jew who wants to be saved can be saved. But they become a member of a body where there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Amen?
Amen.
And that's how it is. So the next time after this happened with Stephen, and Stephen said, I see Jesus standing in your Bible. The next time Jesus' position in heaven is mentioned, it's in Colossians 3:1. And look what it says. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He ascended to heaven, and He stood there ready to return and to assume His throne in Israel as king. But He was rejected. And so the next time you see Him after Acts, He's sitting.
No.
Isn't that something? It's an amazing thing. Now, I want to add this because I'm not saying that for 2,000 years Jesus has been sitting. What you see in human royal houses, maybe England or wherever they still have a king or queen, the reference to a queen being the sitting queen. You ever heard of that? The sitting king. That means positionally that's where they're at. She's not sitting all the time over there in England. She gets up, walks around, does her thing. But anytime there's a gathering of the official royal family or some kind of official purpose for the queen over in England, she comes in and she sits on her throne because she is the sitting queen. Jesus is the sitting king right now in heaven. But we are at the end. And at any moment, He's going to stand.
Amen.
We're down to that moment, folks. At any moment, He is going to stand. And He is going to come back in a blink of an eye from the other side of the universe back into our atmosphere. And He is going to call us up with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And we who are alive and remain will have to wait a millisecond, so those dead in Christ should rise and get their glorified body. And then we go right up after them to meet the Lord in the air. And forever will we be with the Lord.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you look at the signs, you look at all the evidence on the news and the newspaper, look around you, any moment this could happen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to skip that. I already said it. But until then, we should follow the example of the apostles, which is the last verse of the Gospel of Mark. Until then, until that moment, it says in verse 20 what they did. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the signs themselves are not for our purpose today. But God will confirm the word.
Amen.
And the sign that He is now going to perform when you preach the gospel is that when anyone believes it, they become a part of the family.
Amen.
So until that moment when Jesus stands up and then comes down here into our atmosphere with Michael the archangel, with a shout and the voice of Michael calling us, come up hither. Until then, we're to follow that example. Praise God. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time in Your Word, and we thank You for this study of the book of Mark, the whole Gospel of Mark. Every word of it, every word of it was so encouraging, informative. We thank You for the Holy Spirit as our teacher, using it to teach us. And Lord, I pray that anyone here who's missed any of those messages, they can go back out and get on the internet and listen and take note and have a little makeup session there. We thank You for this local church family. that until we do go home to be with you, we can meet like this. And we just thank you for the blessing it is. I thank you for everyone here this morning. And for the fact that this is just a tiny experience, a tiny taste of what it's going to be like in heaven when we meet all the saints in glory, in a place without sin. Cannot wait, Lord. We love you. And until then, help us, Lord, empower us to preach the gospel to every creature. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah.
got to have balance. You can only be saved because you understand you're lost. Amen? And that is, if you turn on Oprah or Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or whoever on TV to get your wisdom, bad move. Every one of those people reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Ask them. Write them a letter. Because people get their counsel from the ungodly, then you can say anything these days, it seems like you can say that is true, and you will be attacked for it. And I'm just talking about the Christians. The professing Christians will be the ones attacked. But if you will go to this book, you'll find it is life-changing. Holding a book, owning a Bible. I mean, I know people who've collected the things, but they don't read them. And I see professing Christians posting their astrological signs and their horoscopes on Facebook. I see them talking about, watching this stuff. They are getting their counsel from the ungodly. I picture it this way. There are a lot of cocky, arrogant scorners who think that when they stand before God on Judgment Day, they're going to put forth a defense. They are not going to stand in the judgment. They will be face down, begging, knowing that they have chosen what's about to happen to them. Amen. And it's too late. They will not stand in the judgment. They will not pump a fist at God. They will not give a defense. They will stand for about a millisecond and then be down, face first, not even able to look at His glory, knowing, what a fool was I. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They will not stand. We are righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. He paid for our sins. We are righteous in spite of ourselves, not because of ourselves. We are righteous because of what Jesus has done for us. And when the Father looks at you, He doesn't look and say, whoa, now that's a specimen there. I should not have broken the mold when I made her. That's not what God says. He looks at you, and if you're in the righteous, the congregation of the righteous, He says, the blood of my Son, the blood of my Son, the blood of my Son. You have nothing to do with it. It's in spite of you. It's in spite of me. And what's it say in verse 6? Read that with me. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The end. The end. If you're saved, I know it can look rough and you think, where are you, Lord? Trust the book. He says that if you're saved, He's there with you. And He will not leave you nor forsake you. And I hate to use the cliches, but you all know the footprints in the sand. There was that time where there was only one set of footprints. I think if I look back at my life, most of the time there's one set. So much of my life, God is the one carrying me. And as far as salvation, there's never anything but one set of footprints. As far as my soul being saved, nothing but one set of footprints. Done. All these trials you're going through, all the troubles you have to suffer, the pains physically, emotionally, whatever it is, you're going to not even look back. It'll be such a distant memory. You're going to look at what you have in Christ. And you're going to just bask in His glory. And you're not going to have time or a desire to look back. But the way of the ungodly shall perish, and the ungodly will never forget. The ungodly who reject the blood atonement of Jesus Christ will burn in an everlasting lake of fire. Their torment will rise. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. And it says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Those people who have been overcome by their lust, their greed, their self-centeredness and all that, they will continue to be overcome by it through eternity. And their way here on earth that they're walking, that they think is so smart, it will perish. We can look to the cross of Jesus Christ and the empty tomb and know that we have been saved.